What's going on out there in Clipperland? It's me, William the Opinion Updike. And today I am free soloing the summit of Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. No positive Chuck. He is still somewhere on the Oregon coast. Maybe ran into DB Cooper. Who knows? But anyways, I got a heck of a show lined up for you today. Today is Monday, which means the freshies, where we talk kind of about, well, today only I talk about new guys to the squad, generally a rookie status report. But hey, we got so many new guys that we haven't gotten a chance to see yet on the Clippers. Got a lot of exciting stuff to talk about. Today we're going to be focusing on Rodney McGruder. However, I'm going to kick things off with a little bit of a, I guess I wouldn't call it more than a hypothetical, but supposedly on Twitter, Future Hoops reported that there was talks of an Andre Roberson trade. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Tell you how I feel, and then I'm going to wrap things up with the segment that's become a daily segment in this dead zone before we get into preseason, and that's Shavings, where I just kind of talk about some loose ends, kind of wrap some things up. So we've got some interesting stuff on there, including Jeremy Lin, ? To the Clips, some other stuff in there for you too, so all that and more coming up right about now. All right, so it was reported on Twitter by @FeatureHoops. I don't know how legit this account is. I don't know that much about them, so all apologies if they're dope. But they reported there were brief trade discussions for Andre Roberson. I don't know. I guess I just, it's hard for me to even contextualize how serious something like this is. I don't see it as being a realistic possibility. I think that this, if anything, if there is some truth to this, this must have came out after discussions fell through. And I would be really surprised if this trade was proposed anytime after Mo Harkless had become a part of the team. And honestly, I was looking at the numbers of these guys because they're pretty comparable players. I mean, Andre Roberson has been, you know, just a great defensive piece for the Thunder when he is able to play. And Mo Harkless, you know, also a storied defender. His, you know, shooting is a little bit suspect. Mo Harkless is like 28% from three. But in my opinion, he provides, just like from anecdotal evidence, in my mind, I thought, you know, Mo Harkless provides similar services as Andre Roberson, but with a little bit more offensive upside, even with the lower three-point shooting. So I went ahead and looked at the stats for both of these guys, and they're eerily similar. So they both shoot right around the, Andre Roberson shoots about 26% from three. Mo Harkless is closer to 28. From the field, they're both in the 48 range. Mo Harkless is being slightly better. Free throws, Mo Harkless shoots 67 to Andre Roberson's 47% on free throws. That's absurd. The fact that we were even thinking about trading for this player, which I can't even confirm, is absurd to me. And I do know, you know, like I said at the top of this segment, I do know that Andre Roberson has great potential as a defenseman, but so get a load of this too. Age-wise, these guys are pretty similar. Andre Roberson is almost 28. Mo Harkless is 26. So Mo Harkless is younger and somehow still has more experience. And I guess the most worrisome thing about Roberson, especially from a Clippers perspective, is the injury history, which, okay, so he didn't even play at all last year in the 18-19 season due to a knee injury. To me, like, even the idea of this is just a downgrade from Mo Harkless. And then looking at the defensive numbers, if you go by, like, per 100 possessions, which I always give this asterisk, I feel like I say this every time, but you know, these are by no means definitive stat. I just feel like it's a good kind of baseline to look at for comparisons. And these numbers between Mo Harkless and Andre Roberson, the defensive ratings are really, really similar, just for a frame of reference. And once again, these are all just, you know, these are all just numbers. You do with them what you will. I do them, you know, I twist them to promote my own agenda. So the offensive ratings, though, is where things get interesting. Last year, Andre Robertson had, or the previous season, the 17-18 season, he had the best offensive campaign of his career. He posted an offensive rating of 114 per 100 possessions. And let's see, Mo Harkless did the same thing last year, but the in that same 17-18 season, he had an offensive rating of 117, bringing Mo Harkless's average offensive rating to 108, same as his defensive rating, so net neutral, you know, so not going to hurt the team at any point. And then Andre Robertson's looks like it's 110. So it's a little bit better than I thought. He's a net plus four, but this is like, look, I'm using these numbers to degrade my own argument, but just the injury concern is like a huge thing to me. And I think that those numbers are a little bit bloated on the offensive end. And the defense is helped by being on a much better defensive team. I think the defensive rating for Mo Harkless actually kind of undersells some of his actual ability, just considering the teams that he's been on. You know, Portland is like a solid team, not necessarily a net negative defensively, but I think you plug him in into a more shored up defensive system and those numbers would jump out at you a lot more. Once again, like the 3-point shooting from either one of these guys is not great. I mean, they're not even at that 33% mark, which, you know, to be even a somewhat reliable floor spacer, I kind of feel like you need to be for people to really respect the shot. But the shooting form is a lot better for Mo Harkless. I don't know. I don't see any situation in which we would have made this trade, and especially now, in my mind, it would be a downgrade. The only real stat that favors Robertson is that per 100 possessions net rating. Everything else looks to be breaking in Mo Harkless's favor. So I think that we did the right thing on this one. Anyways, any thoughts out there in Clipper Nation? Let me know what you guys think about having Andre Robertson on the team. Let me know what you think about Mo Harkless. Is anybody else psyched to have this guy? At first, I was like a little bit on the fence. But I'm loving the idea now. So that's going to segue perfectly into my next segment, which is going to be the Freshies. All right, guys, so it's time for the Freshies. It's fresh. I want to talk a little bit about Rodney McGruder, not a rookie at all, per se. What am I saying, per se? Not a rookie at all, but he is a new guy to the Clips, so he's still fresh to me. For those of you who aren't familiar, he came to us. We picked him up after he was waived by Miami. He was an undrafted guy. So you know that he's like a true Clipper at heart. Dude's got a chip on his shoulder and he's ready to prove something. He averaged, his last season averages were 8-4-2, which is pretty solid for a rotation guy. That's really all we need. I would see him most likely playing the two, on that second unit. Probably switching time off with Jerome and some lineups where Landry Shamet will also be playing with Lou Will, regardless of whether he's starting or not. They just seem to like that combo, as evidenced in that playoff series with the Warriors. So I'm pretty excited about Rodney McGruder. I got the chance to talk to him a little bit during that Warriors series, and he just seemed like a really level-headed, hardworking guy. Fits the identity of the team really well. I feel like I've already been seeing his praises really without seeing him hit the floor in a Clippers jersey yet. But let me talk a little bit about why he interests me. You know, he's got a pretty solid defensive rating, you know, average around that 110 mark. His shooting splits are pretty solid, 40% from the field, you know, not ideal, but 35% from three, very serviceable. 72% free throw shooter. You know, if you listen to the podcast, that I'm leery of anybody who's below 70%. I just don't necessarily think that the form is there. So why am I so excited about somebody who averaged 8-4-2? I do think that some of that was due to role. Obviously in Miami, you know, he wasn't the number one choice. He started in a total of 112 games there out of 162. And his minutes fluctuated, but stayed actually pretty decently around the 20-minute mark. So you know that he's already good for those rotation minutes, which is something that excites me. His attempts per game from three were pretty low at around three out of his total of seven. I would expect that number to probably increase, especially in three-point percentage, or not percentage, but attempts. I would guess that they are going to use him a lot off ball in situations where he'll need to be in the catch and shoot. And so I was looking at a little bit some of those advanced shooting kind of stats today, and honestly, in the catch and shoot, that's where a little bit under half of his attempts come from, at 42% of his total attempts, and that's actually his most efficient shooting, which makes sense, but that number is around 53%. And then his three-point percentage from there is 36, so right around his regular average. I could just see that number increasing, though, just with confidence. And then a lot of players who have played for this second unit on the Clippers have just talked about how open the shots get, which is a unique quality of that second unit, just due to the magnetism surrounding the Lou Will and Montrezl Harrell pick and roll. Guys get a lot more open shots, and you know, you give a guy, you know, the further you get a defender away, obviously this league is all about space. So the more space we can provide Magruder, I just only think that those numbers are probably only going to increase. There's actually a little bit of a dip in his percentage if he gets too open. So essentially, these stats are coming from Stats.NBA, which I believe is based on Second Spectrum. So in shots where the closest defender to Rodney Magruder is about 4 to 6 feet away, which is considered an open shot, he shoots about 44%. But when the defender is 6+ feet away, which is wide open, that number dips to 39. I'm not really sure what to account that fluctuation for. I think, once again, it's like a confidence thing. It's probably earlier in the shot clock. Looking at how he uses the ball in the shot clock, a lot of his usage comes just right average in the shot clock, which is around 15 to 7 seconds remaining. So that's, you know, over halfway into a possession. And he shoots about 53% on those. So I think getting him the ball in situations where it's not super late in the shot clock, I think that that'll definitely help his percentages. You know, he's a young guy, so it's, I don't want to say that he's not clutch or anything, but I just don't think that he's had enough experience in sort of high pressure situations to really get to that. Hopefully, you know, going off of that, with a team that has championship aspirations or something like that, that can appear a little bit worrisome, you know, that he maybe doesn't have that kind of killer gene that we talk about guys like Lou Will or, you know, other great scorers really having. But I see that as something that, especially with confidence, will just come along. I mean, you can't necessarily teach someone to be a true scorer, but I do think that you can give someone the empowerment and confidence to improve in those sort of late era shot clocks, because his currently late in the shot clock, which is defined by the NBA as 7 to 4 seconds remaining. His percentage dips to about 7%. That's field goal percentage, mind you, so total. And then in very late, it dips again to 4%, which is, you know, like all of these numbers are, you know, they're not insanely terrible or anything, but it is definitely a consideration for a team that hopes to go deep. However, he surprisingly doesn't take a lot of early shot clock attempt shots, which, I mean, for us is good when you have a second unit and you have Lou Will and you have Montrezl Harrell and you have great shooters like Jamichael Green and you have, you know, like tools like Mo Harkless, who I talked about at the start of today's episode. You don't want Rodney Magruder pulling up early in the shot clock. It's also it's weird that he has an increase though in percentage. I'm just guessing that has to do with the amount of attempts. Yeah, it's less than one per game that he's like jacking up shots early in the shot clock, but he is knocking them down at a 63% clip. So if we ever need him to run a little Westbrook-esque offense, he's got that for us. So yeah, sorry this is like a little bit of a numbers heavy segment. I just feel like from a culture standpoint, I've talked so much about what I like about Magruder, how I think he's going to fit in to this team, and I'm just excited to see, you know, how we're going to be able to use him. And I'm hoping that we can see, you know, I think at bare minimum, we're going to see production at the net of what he had last season. But I would be pretty surprised if we didn't see an uptick in both his points per game and assists. I think his rebounding could actually go down, just especially if he's playing in lineups with, you know, with Trez, Mo Harkless, and Jamichael Green out there around him. I think it's going to be pretty difficult for him to snatch boards. But, you know, who knows? Maybe he could be a more efficient offensive rebounder. So, anyways, that about does it for me for Rodney Magruder and today's episode of The Freshies. Let me know what you guys think about Rodney Magruder. Also, do you guys have a nickname yet for Magruder? We've been toying with Scoots Magruder or Shoots Magruder. Basketball Reference has his nickname listed as the Scavenger, which I gotta be honest, I'm not mad at. Let me know what you guys think at Locked On Clips. And so coming up next, I'm gonna have the regular sort of shaving segments where I take open up the drawer, see what's kicking around, and talk it out. All right, guys. So moving on. So Charles put in the notes here, Jeremy Lin, worth a look. In case you guys were unaware, the number of free agents is really dwindling down, and we do have a couple of roster spots left. I think Charles and I have both pretty much stated, as well as other people on Twitter and elsewhere, that I would be pretty surprised if this front office did anything other than stand pat, but you never know. So out there, Jeremy Lin is still out there. He recently just, man, he seems like he's going through kind of a hard time emotionally. He talked about how it seems like he's kind of bottoming out in the NBA and they've kind of given up on him, which, oh man, that's rough. We're a long way removed from the freaking good old days of Lin's sanity. I don't know. I don't hate the idea of adding Lin. I still feel, and I know that not everyone echoes this, but I still feel as though we're a little guard heavy. You know, he could, it's just hard for me to see what he would really do on that team. His 3-point percentage is around the 30% mark. You know, he's not really a plus defender. Let's take a look at his defensive rating. Oh, no, you know what? He's average. 110. His offensive rating, like his offense in general, seems to have kind of fallen off a little bit. But actually, it's not bad. It hasn't really like fallen off a cliff completely. I just don't really know how we would like move him into the offense. I mean, he's not like, his assist numbers aren't like insane. He did average 3 last year. but it would be good for him to distribute just because he's of an age where I don't think he was like really cooking defenders off the dribble or anything. Certainly not more so than Lou Will would be. Definite bummer that he's been through so many injuries. I was really hoping things would kind of work out for him there on the Nets before that terrible knee injury. I'm glad that he got a ring. You know, I think that maybe instead of looking at it as like the NBA has given up on him, maybe like he's just achieved maybe the peak of what he's going to be able to achieve still in this league. Still one of the greatest stories, I feel like, in the NBA. Maybe not of all time, but like in recent history. Just like a pretty cool dude. And that was like an interesting time in basketball. It's a bummer that it didn't work out in Houston. It's like a bummer that they couldn't. I just feel like he was kind of one of those pieces that, other than that Knicks season where he was incredible, it hasn't really popped off for him since then. So best of luck to Jeremy Lin. I don't think that he's really worth a look from my standpoint. There's some other guys out there that I'm still a little bit interested in. One of the names, and he's come up from a lot of people, I'm not that mad at taking a look at Vince Carter. I still, once again, this falls into the same Jeremy Lin thing where I don't really know where he fits in on this team. I would guess he would be like the third in line, kind of small forward to power forward guy. In like events where maybe we need a little bit more offense or something than Mo Harkless, or we want to put Vince in there for a victory lap. I don't really see this one as like a realistic signing. Just, I mean, the guy's been in the NBA for 21 years. So I like the idea of it from, you know, once again, I feel like I keep bringing up like the veteran mentorship kind of angle. But other than that, I don't know. I guess I would place him above Jeremy Lin maybe in terms of guys that we should take a look at. But I still don't know how the fit would be ultimately. But I do think that it would be fun as hell to watch. Greg Monroe made the decision to go to Europe. So he's kind of off the market. I was a little bit down on him. I didn't think that he had that great of outings with the Celtics. And then, you know, he was kind of a non-factor on the Sixers. So I don't know how much is left in the tank, but I like the idea. So if we're going to get one of these guys that's like probably not going to crack the rotation that much, right? Your Jeremy Lin's or your Vince Carter's or even your Greg Monroe's, I would like somebody that we could use as a piece to kind of develop somebody else. Obviously, Zubats being the piece that probably needs the most development or could benefit the most from some sort of like really solid veteran leadership. So that interests me about Monroe. He's off the board. Bogut is still available, which I think is kind of interesting. He's kind of a funny dude. I would guess that he'll end up going back to and playing in Australia. Very successful season there. So that might also be off the table. But, you know, Bogut coming in for a few minutes, I wouldn't be mad at that. And once again, like, you have a semi-productive center. You have somebody who, in my opinion, does have something that he could teach. You know, just in terms of defensive awareness on the floor, rebounding, just kind of boosting up, you know, just kind of helping Zubats to improve, you know, give him those tips of the trade. Who else is available? Let's see. Also, I believe Joakim Noah is still out there. I wouldn't be mad at that. Once again, he's kind of like a different scenario wherein he's another guy who I think, just depending on how Zubats is doing, it would be hard for him to crack the rotation. If Zubats is having a tough time, you know, if he isn't developing it the way they thought, I do think that of all these guys I've listed so far, Joakim Noah has the most likelihood of actually being able to play a significant amount of time. What that would look like, I can't really guarantee. But I do see him on the flip side as somebody who like maybe wouldn't. Well, I don't know. In my mind, I'm thinking that he maybe wouldn't be the greatest mentor. He kind of seems like to do his own thing, and he's on his own journey. And I don't even mean that in a negative way. I think that's just him. But of these guys, I think that he provides maybe the a lesser amount of mentorship for Zubats or the last remaining young guys on the team. I shouldn't say that. There's a bunch of guys that we can still develop. But he does provide the most upside in terms of like an actual serviceable player. So anyways, that's all I got on some kind of free agency stuff. Like I said at the top of the segment, like I would be very surprised if we don't just stand pat. I don't see a whole lot of moves out there that really move the needle that much. But let me know what you guys think. If you think that there's somebody that I'm sleeping on, or you think any of these guys could make an actual like contributing difference, let me know. At Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, and I'll get back to you. What else do we have here in the drawer? So according to Twitter, Steve Ballmer isn't ruling out changing the logo, colors, and even the Clippers nickname itself when they move to the new arena in 2024. Wow. Okay, so that to me is a little bit of a bombshell. Changing the logo and colors, I think definitely makes sense. I think the logo, man, the logo really needs a do-over. If you listen to this podcast often, you know I'm not a big fan. It's just so generic looking. I even liked the previous just classic script better with the basketball, you know? That's what we're all about. So it makes sense that the logo and colors would kind of be up on the table. The name surprises me. The only thing I could really see happening is if they went back to the Braves. I don't really know that that would happen just given the current cultural climate, but you never know. I don't know. I don't think I want to see a name change personally. I don't know why, you know, after winning four straight championships, you'd want to change the name of the team. But if we were to change it, let's see. I would like the Nuggies, which I know there's already a Nuggets, but ours would take more of like a weed theme instead of a gold theme. I like that. I like the idea of anything union, like maybe the Laborers. Ooh, I actually like that a lot. The Los Angeles Laborers, I think I would choose as if we were to change the nickname. Other than that, I'm fully down for changing mascot, for changing logo, for changing colors. But yeah, let me know what you guys think. Shout out on Twitter. That's at Los Angeles Laborers. No, there's not. They don't have a Twitter yet. But let me know what you think of the nickname, the Laborers. What would you change the nickname from the Clippers, if anything? I'm guessing you probably don't want it to change. And let me know if you have any logo or color ideas. So anyways, I'm just going to wrap up with one quick thing. Ryan West, son of, you know, our guru and front office consultant Jerry West, has left the Lakers. Kind of makes a lot of sense. You know, it was interesting that the conversation was kind of veering towards would Jerry go to be with his son Ryan at the Lakers. I never really saw that as a possibility just because I do think that he feels slighted by the organization. Ryan was kind of instrumental in the draft. So with the, you know, those amount of picks and stuff, he really doesn't have a job there anymore. It kind of makes sense. I don't know if we make if we acquire Ryan West. I kind of see us as being in the same position where, you know, the value of our draft is going to be pretty low. Plus, I just feel like we already have guys who are pretty solid at scouting talent in the later rounds. But, you know, if I mean, you know, they did find like Kuzma and stuff later in the draft. So I wouldn't be totally opposed to bringing on Ryan West. I still don't know how much longer Jerry will stay with the team. I think that he will stay with it as long as he continues to be in the NBA. You know, and my opinion on that could change, but right now that's kind of how I feel. So only time will tell. But I'm not opposed to any Ryan West. Let me know what you guys think. As always, that's going to do it for today. Tomorrow I'll have a Twitter Tuesday for you. We'll go live on Twitter. That's at Locked On Clips, probably around 1:30 Pacific. So tune in for that. I'll give you guys a heads up on Twitter. As always, send in your questions to at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike. Don't send them to Charles Mockler because he's not going to be here tomorrow. And we'll be talking all things Clippers. So thanks so much for listening. If you're new to the pod, Hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe on iTunes. Give us a rating, review. We love it. Also, just want to touch on one thing. Sorry that the audio quality was a little bit whack on the last episode. But in my defense, Charles and I had come out of Playbook 4 together, and I just really wanted you guys to be able to get his opinion too versus me just kind of monologuing on it. And also, you know, I come from the Datpiff era, okay? In college, I listened to Datpiff almost exclusively, you know, and mixtapes. I never cared about all audio quality or mastering. You just want the content, you know? All right, that's my soapbox rants. Listen to Datpiff. And yeah, once again, sorry about that. Gonna be doing my best to keep things up to quality standards for you guys, and can't wait to keep bringing more content. So thanks for listening. Have a good one.